If I asked you how many subscriptions you have, would you be able to list all of them and how much you're paying? If you would have asked me this question before I started using Rocket Money, I would have said yes. But let me tell you, I would have been so wrong. I can't believe how many I had and all the money I was wasting. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills. Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has helped save its members an average of $720 a year with over 500 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wondery. That's rocketmoney.com/wondery. rocketmoney.com/wondery. When it comes to hiring, don't go searching for the one. Just meet your match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match. Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Jennifer Aniston said in an interview published yesterday that she is open to the idea of a Friends reboot. Though, according to Ross, they never got canceled. They were on a break!
From 30 Rockefeller Plaza in New York City, please enjoy this podcast edition of Late Night with Seth Meyers. On today's show, Seth talks to legendary actor Henry Winkler. Plus, exclusively for this podcast, Henry keeps the conversation going backstage at Studio 8G. But first, a closer look.
As the trial of his ex-campaign chairman gets underway and his former lawyer turns on him, President Trump is getting even more desperate for the adoration of his crowds. For more on this, it's time for a closer look. You can tell the walls are closing in on Trump because he keeps reacting to the Russia investigation in increasingly desperate ways. He's gone all the way from insisting he had nothing to do with Russia to saying there was no collusion to claiming that even if there was collusion, it's not a crime to demanding that the investigation be shut down. He's like a murder suspect who says, "I didn't kill anyone, and besides, it was self-defense." And yet the occasional Republican efforts to hold Trump accountable have not inspired much confidence. For example, you might know this famous internet meme known as the "This is fine" dog. It's been around for years. Well, yesterday, during a hearing on Russian election interference, Republican Senator Richard Burr seemed to have learned about that meme for the very first time.
Some feel that we as society are sitting in a burning room, calmly drinking a cup of coffee, telling ourselves this is fine. That's not fine.
Oh my God, there is nothing worse than an old senator entering a meme into the public record. Mr. Chairman, I would like to yield the balance of my time to our first witness, Salt Bae. Seriously, the president's trying to shut down an investigation of his campaign for colluding with a foreign adversary, and that's your response? Let me point it to you this way. Some feel that the Republican Party is like a frog sipping tea saying the president is a criminal, but that's none of my business. And despite Trump's insistence that collusion is not a crime, conspiracy to commit fraud or violate election laws are very much our crimes. And many former prosecutors, even cautious ones, are beginning to argue that there's already enough evidence in the public record to prove those crimes.
Are you seeing enough pieces come to light in just what is public-facing in this investigation that you believe there will be enough to charge someone with a conspiracy to coordinate or receive assistance from a hostile foreign power?
Yes, I am. There are bits and pieces in the public record that suggest that it wasn't just Russians. So there's some unanswered questions, but I think the pieces are there.
Of course they're there. The guy publicly asked Russia to hack his opponent. His son took a meeting with them, and his closest aides all look like gangsters from a Tex Avery cartoon. Which is why Trump is getting increasingly hysterical in his calls to end the investigation before its findings become public. Yesterday, he tweeted that his Attorney General, Jeff Sessions, should stop this rigged witch hunt right now. And his lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, challenged Special Counsel Robert Mueller to come forward with everything he knows.
We believe that the investigation should be brought to a close. We think they're at the end of it. They should render their report. put up, I mean, I guess if we were playing poker, we're not, we'd put up or shut up.
It is very lucky you're not playing poker, Rudy, because Robert Mueller has resting poker face. And you have the face of someone who has just been stuck with a hot poker. Giuliani then complained that his team has had to respond to several accusations, including accusations leveled by Trump's former lawyer and personal fixer, Michael Cohen, who said last week that Trump knew in advance about that infamous 2016 meeting at Trump Tower with Russian officials.
We have every reason to believe they don't have anything. The president didn't do anything wrong. I don't think they have any evidence he did anything wrong. They have lots of stuff that goes up this alley and that. Last week we were chasing all these things about Cohen.
Yeah, they have lots of stuff. It's called evidence. If your boat has one leak, maybe you hit a rock. If it has 100 leaks, maybe you have a boat. Now, if Trump was directing his attorney general, who is supposed to be recused from the investigation, to shut down the investigation, that seems like a pretty obvious case of obstruction of justice, which is why Giuliani tried to insist it wasn't an order, it was just an opinion.
So, should the attorney general see this as a directive, or is it
No, it isn't. It isn't at all. It's what it is, as we said immediately, it's an opinion. And he used his, he used the medium that he uses for opinions, Twitter. And I mean, one of the good things about using that is he's established a clear sort of practice now that he expresses his opinions on Twitter. He used the word should. He didn't use the word must.
I'm sorry, do you really think Donald Trump is going to agonize over the difference between should and must? A couple weeks ago, he called his wife Melanie. Yesterday, he misspelled the word smoking. He's not sitting over parchment, dipping a quill into an inkwell, debating which word to use.
Thou shalt.
Trump just dumps the ink on the paper and then smears it around with his finger. Giuliani also insisted that Trump can't be guilty of obstruction of justice because he has the power to shut down the investigation if he wants to. So where does Giuliani get that idea? He was asked that question yesterday, and if I were his client, his answer would not inspire much confidence.
Do you also think obstructing justice is not a crime?
Of course it's a crime.
You just said that the president can...
No, under Article 2 of the Constitution, I'm not going to tell you my opinion on it because I haven't really gotten to the conclusion of researching it.
You haven't gotten to it. It's Article 2. Did you read Article 1 and then just take a nap? It says a lot about your case when this is the best lawyer you can get to represent you. You want a guy who sounds like Atticus Finch. Rudy sounds like he just wandered out of Central Park wearing an open hospital gown. I mean, look at him. He's literally wiping sweat from his brow. Can you imagine this guy in court? The defense may now call its first witness. We're supposed to have witnesses? Oh, boy. Oh, Rudy. Oh, you done it again, Rudy. You done it again. Mr. Giuliani, are you ready for a press conference? Yeah, just bring me my sweat rag. Apparently, all of this has taken an emotional toll on Trump. CNN reports that people inside the White House say he's been in a dark place. So welcome aboard. In response, he's been seeking solace and emotional support from his crowds, which is why he held another one of his public therapy sessions on Tuesday in Florida, where he once again relived the glory days of his campaign.
They said it couldn't be done. It was actually done quite easily. We won quite handily. We were never off center stage. You know what that means, right? The debates. We never left center stage. We won every farm state. You got to see that middle of that map. It wasn't even the middle. It was about everything but a little corners of each side. But you have to see that is all red. Republican red. Beautiful Republican red. And you know what they were asking on election day? Where did all these people come from? You know where they came from? They came from the heart. They came from people that were never happy with anybody until we came along.
They were never happy with anybody until we came along. Trump talks about himself the way a romance novel talks about the sexy pirate character. She was never happy with anybody until he came along. He made her so lustful, she had to wipe the sweat from her brow. There's been a closer look. Our guest is a Golden Globe Award-winning actor you know from his iconic role as Arthur Fonzarelli on Happy Days and such shows as Arrested Development and Parks and Recreation. He recently received an Emmy nomination for his work on HBO's Barry, which can currently be seen on HBO Go and On Demand. Please welcome back to the show our very good friend, Henry Winkler, everyone. Welcome back.
I am so happy to be here.
I am so happy to have you here. What are you at?
Well, you know what? I love swag.
Yeah.
And you know, when you get to be a guest here, you get a bag filled with goodies. And you have, I just want to show everybody, you have such great handwriting.
Oh, thank you.
Isn't that beautiful?
Yeah, it's really nice. It's chicken scratch, but for you, I try to really get...
Well, you used your penmanship beautifully.
Thank you.
Yeah.
You know what? I think this is our 715th show. You're the first person to mention my penmanship, so thank you. Thank you.
All right.
Do you like being back in New York? You grew up in New York?
Here it is. I've said this before, my heart is here in New York. My body lives in L.A. My heart and my soul is in Montana.
Oh, wow. Interesting.
Yeah.
And you used to ride the bus, obviously.
I did. I rode the Broadway bus, the 104.
And you had the performer gene at a very young age.
I did. I would get on the bus and I would sit down and there would be an empty seat and we would stop along the way before we got to McBurney School for Boys.
Uh-huh.
No longer exists. I have no history. And someone would try to sit down next to me and I'd go, no, wait a minute, hold on. And I would, my pet horse, George, just, he didn't make, so it's all right. And I then, once, I actually asked the bus, anybody have to get off between 78th Street and 64th? Because I'm late for my midterm exams. I'm the future of America, and they're going to kill me if I'm late. Everybody said no, and I made the bus an express.
Wow. That is incredible. You had a...
I failed the test.
You failed the test.
Yes.
All those people sacrificed for you, yes. And you failed the test.
I actually took geometry for 4 years. Yes.
Nominated for an Emmy. Congratulations. Very excited. It is a wonderful, wonderful role on a wonderful show. You've been nominated before. You were nominated for Happy Days.
Yes, and I've lost before.
This is interesting. So what you're going into it having... eyes wide open as to what the experience is like.
It's
how
true.
Are you excited?
You know what? I am very proud. Because what I know is this. When HBO called and said, oh, congratulations, they also said we won 13 nominations.
Yeah.
And Bill Hader and Alec Berg and the cinematographer. And it never happens for comedies in the first year.
It's really impressive.
I am out of my mind thrilled. I totally understand how it works. So I might win, I might not. And I am so proud to be in this category with all of these other actors. And that thought lasts.
Uh-huh.
Until your tush hits the seat in the theater.
Right.
At which time, you want to win. Let's be honest.
Yeah.
I don't even remember who else is in the category. I saw Mr. Shalhoub here the other night.
Yes, Tony Shalhoub.
And I saw
nominated
him on
in
Broadway.
Your category. Yep.
He already won a statue.
He won a Tony this year. Come on, don't be greedy,
Share.
Tony. Give a little something to Henry here. The part is fantastic. You
Thank
play
you.
An acting coach.
Yes.
And you and Bill Hader discussed your own history. And did you borrow from other acting coaches or acting
you know
teachers?
What? Gene Cousineau, this is how I really got into my character. In the set of the theater where I teach, there are posters. And they took pictures of me. And there is all of the plays that I've produced, directed, and wrote. Hamlet, Macbeth. Peter Pan, and they put me in a harness, and I flew as Peter. And I realized that it is starring Gene Cousineau, my character, except I didn't dye my hair. I played Peter Pan with gray hair. I knew exactly who this guy was.
Yeah, there you go. That's a very good character description.
Yeah.
I want to. Your lovely wife is backstage.
Stacey.
We were talking, and you and Stacey.
Oh, I have to mention my daughter, Zoe.
Okay.
She demanded that I talk about. She is a mother of three, an incredible teacher, and went down to the border and delivered wonderful items to the children who were being incarcerated there.
That's fantastic. A round of applause for Zoe. That's wonderful.
Yeah, I got a text. When you have children, you get a text. That's all you get. You never get them on the phone. We also have two
Henry,
sons.
Henry, she was delivering food on the border. She didn't have time to call you this time.
That's exactly what she said. I'm busy. I'm going to call you back. Jen and Max say the same thing.
Yeah. Your son Max is a director.
Yes, he is. He's in Boston now, directing his third movie.
That's very exciting. And, and is it true that he actually helped you audition for this role?
He did. He directed me in the audition. First time at home, he read the script and he would go over it with me. He would say, Dad, respect the text.
Wow.
Because I'm a little dyslexic. Reading is not so easy, so I improvise. Dad, that's not what he wrote.
Oh, wow.
Dad, there's an exclamation point. Let's do it again. I think I've got it. Let's do it again. Okay, Max.
Wow.
The second time? I emailed him the scenes, and we did it over the phone. He was strict on the phone also.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, it obviously paid off because you got the part, so yes. I tip my cap to Max.
Jed, our oldest son, is much more phone-friendly.
Okay, that's good.
Yeah.
I feel like everyone deserves to have one phone-friendly child.
Please.
Yeah. I wanted to ask you about this last time, and we didn't get time to it. So there is, you have your own statue in Milwaukee.
I do.
It's a Fonzie statue.
It is.
And here's a photo of you with it. So,
yes.
How many times was there anyone?
Well, you know what? I'll tell you something. You know, I dreamt of doing this since I was seven. And that is, I say that, and it's true. And here I am at 72, and I have a statue in the a wonderful city in America. I'm not sure why I'm here. Do you have a statue?
No.
No.
Oh, wait, come on. Were there other people around when you walked up and took a picture with your own statue?
You know what I do? I go to visit it every time I'm in Milwaukee.
Okay. How often is that?
Well, you know, I like to do it once a year.
Okay, gotcha. Great.
And I touch it up. Yeah. And sometimes I say, oh, excuse me, would you like me to take a picture of you with the statue? Uh-huh. And they go, yes. And then I take a picture with them. Then they take a picture of me. And then they send it to me.
That's really wonderful. Yeah. And that's a very rarely, when you think about statues, like, that never happens at the Lincoln Memorial. You never. This is a very rare opportunity.
I want to tell you something. I don't think that he likes his statue a lot. I have never seen him there.
I've never seen him there either. Very picky when it came to statues. Famously picky. Thank you for being here. Best of luck at the Emmys. Always a pleasure. Henry Winkler, everybody. Barry is available on HBO Go and On Demand.
Hey, this is Kevin. We are backstage with Henry Winkler. Henry, thanks for joining us.
We're in my dressing room.
We're in your dressing room.
I was just admiring the bag of swag.
Yes, we don't mess around
I don't
here.
Know what's in it yet, but I do know I have a box of candies.
Uh-huh.
And that it makes me so happy I'm able to stay for the podcast.
We're happy to provide you with the best swag.
Thank you.
In late night.
Thank you.
Congratulations on your Emmy nomination for Barry.
Thanks.
It's a fantastic show.
Thanks.
You've been to the Emmys before. You've been nominated before.
I have been.
Yes.
Probably they're going to say, this is Henry Winkler, 99th nomination. He has never won.
Three for Happy Days.
Three right. for Happy
One
Days.
One for The Practice.
One for The Practice. Now, at the same time that I got The Practice, I also did a show called Battery Park by the late, great Gary David Goldberg.
Mm-hmm.
And I was nominated for that. So I was nominated in the comedy category and in the drama category. The very next day, 24 hours later, they said, could we have that certificate back? Battery Park was not on in the allotted amount of time.
You're kidding.
For the Emmys. So I had two, and then I had one.
Well, you grew up in New York.
I did.
You're back here for a few days?
I was here for 2 days. Mm-hmm. I had my cheeseburger. My wife and I never are in New York without having a cheeseburger at the burger joint in the lobby of the Parker Meridian Hotel mm-hmm. on 57th Street. Mm-hmm. The greatest cheeseburger on the East Coast.
What do you get on it?
Pickles, extra cheese.
Excellent.
That's it.
You walk in the Parker Meridian, it's very cool. There's signatures of notable people who have eaten there.
Right.
Have you signed the wall?
I have signed the wall, but there are so many signatures, you cannot find me. It's like looking for Waldo.
Right.
I'm up there somewhere. I can't even find me.
Yeah. So you grew up on the Upper West Side? Around.
I did, 78th and Broadway.
What were you like as a kid growing up in New York?
I was, you know what? Picture a bowl of Jell-O before it sets. I was basically that.
Uh-huh.
I did play a guy on TV that mm-hmm. was very cool. That was not me. I would call a girl in high school on the phone, and it was August. And if you know August in New York, it is wet and hot.
Mm-hmm.
I had to wear an overcoat. I was so nervous. I shook like that bowl of Jell-O before it set. Yeah.
Were you a good student?
Well, I'm in the bottom 3% academically.
Okay. Okay.
In America. I took geometry for 4 years. Same course. I took it in summer school and regular school for 4 years. That was in 1963. So I passed it with a D minus, maybe, what was that, like July 63?
Mm-hmm.
So from July 63 until today, 2018, nobody has said the word hypotenuse to me. What the hell were they thinking?
Well, I think that you've done something that's really commendable is that you turned your learning challenges around. You've written this series of books, Hank Zipser.
Right. They are comedies about a very resourceful young boy who is his glass is half full. He just spills it everywhere. No child should feel the way I felt. No child should ever feel that because they learn differently, they are not brilliant. I tell every child I meet that learning in school has nothing, or the way they do, or how difficult it is to learn for them in school, mm-hmm. has nothing to do with how brilliant mm-hmm. their thoughts are mm-hmm. in their mind.
Mm-hmm. I think that's a much different teaching method than Gene Cousineau.
Yes.
On Barry.
Yes, well, Gene Cousineau, he loves his students
uh-huh.
who can pay in cash on time. They are very talented people. The rest of them, I'm not so sure that's the right profession for them.
Where did you and Bill meet for the first time? Was it through the show? Had you met him before?
I never met Bill before. I have watched Bill with my wife. Oh. We laughed with Bill. It turns out that he has worked with a lot of friends of mine. I didn't know because he did so many different jobs. He was an assistant editor. He was an editor. He was a writer. He's been everywhere. First time I met him, I took him to lunch before we started shooting in order to get to know him. And he had the salmon, I had the bolognese. I mean, just to be specific.
Yeah, and we're looking forward to season 2 of Barry.
You know what? So am I.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was told that in season 2, episode 7, I cry. That's it.
That's all you know
all
about.
All the information that Bill Hader has given me.
Yeah.
I love these girls.
They're great. We're watching Jokes Seth Can't Tell here backstage.
They are so funny.
Yeah, Jenny and Amber. They're great.
What? Okay.
Another SNL alum, Adam Sandler. You've worked with him on so many movies.
I've worked with a few geniuses.
Yeah.
Gary Marshall.
Mm-hmm.
Adam Sandler. Mm-hmm. See, everybody thinks Adam is like goofy, and he really doesn't dress well. You know, he's just a piss-poor dresser. But he is in charge of every detail of every movie he makes or that he is on the set for. It is quite something to watch. It really is. I love him. I love him like my family. Yeah. I carry with me in my wallet at all times the quarter trick that I didn't click.
You're a big fisherman.
I am. Well, I like trout. I love trout.
Mm-hmm.
And I catch and release. I won't even eat a trout in a restaurant.
Just the bolognese.
Oh my gosh, bolognese.
Yeah.
And a cheeseburger.
And the cheeseburger, yeah. Sure.
Now, I also have to mention my daughter, Zoe. She is 36. She is the mother of 3 little boys. She's an incredible preschool teacher. and has demanded that I talk about her. I just did.
There we go.
Yeah.
That's an excellent profession to
she did to with have. With 10 or 15 other women mm-hmm. go down to the border in San Diego and deliver important items mm-hmm. to the children that are incarcerated there.
Wow, that's excellent.
Yeah.
That's very noble. All right, Henry, thank you so much for being here, and congrats on your Emmy nomination, and good luck in September.
What a pleasure. Bye.
Want more Late Night with Seth Meyers? Be sure to follow the handle at Late Night Seth on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, and Snapchat. You can also watch full episodes of Late Night at LateNightSeth.com or on the NBC app. And please tell your friends who are fans of Seth Meyers to subscribe to the podcast on iTunes.
This episode is brought to you by the effortlessly scrumptious bite of Skinny Pop Popcorn. Imagine this: perfectly popped, endlessly delicious kernels, a symphony of just three simple ingredients: popcorn, sunflower oil, and a sprinkle of salt. No compromise, just pure snacking freedom. And hey, if you're up for a twist, dive into flavors like zesty white cheddar to sweet and salty kettle. Every bite's a delight, light and oh so tasty. Shop Skinny Pop now.